Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If I ate shite, I can tell you now I won't be grinning.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
I think possibly the Irish and the Yorkshire accent are some of the worst for podcasting. Because with an Irish accent, I tend to speak faster at times, and sometimes it gets jumbled up to the point that when I'm listening to it back, I'm not even 100% sure of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And with you, you tend to, you know, if you get excited or angry, I mean, actually, sorry, you tend to speak slower generally, but when you get excited or angry, it runs all into one. Like the other day, we were in the car and a song came on the radio that you like. And as it came on, the reception started cutting out. And you loudly exclaimed, "Lyra!" That's what you said, "Lyra!" Yeah?
I don't even know what I was saying.
I looked at you and you started smiling immediately. I know what you were trying to say. You were trying to say, "Listen to that." Like, listen to how shit that is. But "Lyra" is how it came out. And even you're like, "I don't even know what that was."
Yeah. But maybe that's we've been with you for nearly a decade. Maybe it's done.
Meaning
that
what?
Because you do it.
I'm always just talking absolute gibberish.
What I've found with our accents is when I'm editing, so there's massive gaps between certain words in a sentence. So like, what would take you 2 seconds to say takes me 10. Sometimes I have to cut the silence, like I'll split where the silence is and drag them together.
Yeah.
So I sound normal.
Yeah. And then with me, only the other day, I was listening back to an episode before it was to be released. And I said, "Neil, you need to go back over that. You haven't left a gap where you've edited and it sounds like I'm talking over myself."
Yeah.
And you went, "No, that's how you speak." I went, "No, there's no way. I'm literally speaking. How is that possible?"
Yeah.
And you actually showed me the audio and it was one line.
Yeah.
You hadn't cut.
You cut yourself off.
Yes. How is that possible? How? I would not have believed you unless you actually shown me that.
The other thing with the two of us is, so for a joke, I sped it up. I think I sped it up by 2 times. Could have been more. You was uncontrollable.
Supersonic.
Yeah. And I sounded normal.
Yeah. And then you slowed it down.
Yeah.
And you were, "Fuck me." And I actually sounded normal.
Yeah.
So, horrific combination here, but also a good combination because I think as far as like regions in the UK go, Yorkshire, they have a lot of isms and so do the Irish.
Yeah.
So we're a good combination in that sense. We have a lot of just absolute bullshit that we spout.
But the other thing with us, the way we,
the way we attempt to speak,
we've had a lot out of the reviews we get. A lot of them say, like one of them said, "I could listen to you read a phone book." So that's what's drawing people in. The fucked up dynamic of us, of you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you,
yeah.
Is what pulls people in.
Do you know something I do to you a lot on the podcast? And no one's commented on it yet.
Talk on me.
No, you do that to me as well a lot. You'll say something and I'll immediately repeat the same thing. You never say anything about it and no listeners have ever commented on it.
I haven't noticed that.
Have you not?
I've noticed me do it to you. You'll say... Yeah. You'll tell me something about a case. And then I'll basically just repeat that for 10 minutes.
Yeah, like sometimes you'll say something and I'll repeat it back. Like it's, you know, kind of like confirming it. And other times I'm saying it just to wind you up. And you know, no one seems to pick up on it, or they do and they find it funny. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just every day with you, not just when we're recording. So
You notice it more in our day-to-day life. If we were on the road, right, and you went, "That fucker just cut me up." And I went, "That fucker just cut you up." Right. You'd be quicker to go, "What the fuck are you doing?"
I've noticed you do stuff to wind me up, like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, what? Yeah. Oh." You do all that shit.
When do we do that?
Like, so if I say, right, I'd say something like, "I managed to lift that." And you'd go, "You managed to lift that, didn't you?"
I think it's so fucking funny. I amuse myself. Yeah. You know?
Only you. Because no one else noticed.
Well, you know, that's all they really need, isn't it?
Yeah. We got a shout out today.
We do.
So we got...
Sorry to interrupt you. I know we've just said it. That's something that really annoys me about me as well. The amount of times you say we've got a shout out, and nearly every time I say we do indeed.
Well, I thought that was just the rhythm.
I mean, it's become the rhythm. I didn't mean for it to.
It's one of your isms.
Yeah. Yeah, we do indeed, Neil. We do have a shout out.
Yeah. So we got Cobby.
Cobby.
Yeah. Cobby, innit?
Kobe.
Cobby.
I mean, it could be Cobby. I haven't actually confirmed that.
Well, I hope it's Cobby.
I would assume it's Kobe.
I was going to go for the nickname. I was going to go for Green Giant, because I thought of Corn on Cob, you know, Corn, Jolly Green Giant.
Mm-hmm.
But Kobe, the only thing I've got is Kobe.
Yeah.
Well, so if it's Cobby, the Jolly Green Giant.
I don't think it's Cobby. It's going to be Kobe. I've never heard of anyone called Cobby.
Well, the only Kobe I've ever heard of, I just mentioned.
I kind of want it to be Cobby now, but it's Kobe.
Okay.
I thought of a couple. So, Coco. That's cute, isn't it? But Coco.
Let's go with Kiki.
I mean, if you like. Coconut. No?
Calling him a nut.
No, and you don't like that one?
Go on. More?
Coachella.
What's that?
It's a festival. The way I said that sounded really weird. Festival. It's a festival.
Right.
That still sounded weird. Kobe beef.
Yes.
Kobe beef. Now, I've got another one for you. Doesn't really, but I'm basically shoehorning this into fit.
Mm.
If you say it fast, Kobe Kai never dies.
Okay.
Yeah, you like that one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see what I did there? It's very clever. Instead of Cobra, Kobe.
Yeah, no, I get you.
You got to think about it for a sec, you know?
No, no. So my favourite is Kobe beef. But just in case they're called Kobe, then we'll go with Jolly Green Giant as well.
I really don't think there's any fear of that.
Well, if it is, put another B in it.
You look angry.
Well, if it was Kobe, they should have two Bs.
They don't. So it's Kobe.
Is that how it works?
Is that how the whole spelling thing works? To be fair, like, English language is a load of shite. Your talk growing up, like, sounded out. That doesn't always apply.
Mm. Yeah.
We were... As dyslexic,
that's what we did.
What?
As a dyslexic, that's what you do. You tend to... I am dyslexic. So am I. And I'm telling you.
You're trying to tell me, and I'm telling you, as a dyslexic little shit, that what, you know, that it sounded out. And then you learn other words, and you're like, well, that's fucking different.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. That's not relevant.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you look at dyslexics writing, yeah?
Right.
The words they've got spelt wrong, they're how they sound.
I really like that you keep talking to me as if I'm not dyslexic.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly you are. I think I'm worse, a hell of a lot worse. But yeah, no, I'm.
It was a competition with you, isn't it?
No, I accept that you've got dyslexia.
You have to win, right? Even if it's a case of who's the worst? You have to be the worst.
Who's the tickest?
Anyway, we got a bit off track there, but thank you, Jolly Green Giant. Appreciate you.
Or Kobe beef. Kobe That's beef. Making me hungry now.
You and never even had it.
I've never tried Kobe beef.
No.
And I don't think I could eat just regular beef again.
That's a bit too rich for our blood, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You will never, ever, ever enjoy it.
Short arms and long pockets is Megan.
Says the Yorkshire man.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Bethan, and we're the hosts of Seeing Red, a 10 million times downloaded true crime podcast.
We're here to bring you true crime stories that stay with you long after the episode ends.
From unsolved mysteries and overlooked cases
to the human dramas and catastrophic events that shape our world.
We're not detectives or journalists. We're two friends who take turns to share gripping true crime stories with one another, one case at a time.
No fluff, no cliches, no nonsense, just a compelling tale every Wednesday, thoroughly researched and respectfully told.
So, if you're ready to see the world through a different lens,
join us on Seeing Red, your weekly journey into the dark and complex world of crime.
Every episode brings you a new mystery, a new perspective, and a chance to challenge what you thought you knew.
Because sometimes the truth really is stranger than fiction.
Subscribe now and never hear or see the world the same way again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, what you got for us today?
Well, Neil, today we are going to be talking about the murder of Michelle Lee Doerr.
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 Okay.
D-O-R-R.
Okay. Didn't ask, but okay.
Michelle Lee Doerr was born on the 12th of October 1979 to parents Carl and Dee Dee. She was described by her father as a sweet and innocent child with a bubbly personality. If you were to have asked Michelle what she wanted to be when she grew up, she would have told you that she wanted to become a teacher.
Why? Shit pay.
Mm.
Have to deal with kids.
Yeah.
Little sprogs fucking wiping the nose on everything. And
wouldn't be my first choice, but God love you. On the 31st of May, 1986, Memorial Day weekend, Michelle was staying at her father's home in Silver Springs, Maryland. For the weekend ahead, Michelle brought a purple duffel bag containing spare clothes and her roller skates. Her parents had separated and were going through divorce proceedings, with Michelle's mother seeking full custody.
Was he a bastard?
Well, Dee Dee seems to think so.
Okay. You know, just going back to the teacher thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to actually give him credit. Like, some of the shit we did at school, and they had to put up with it. How they didn't have nervous breakdowns, I don't know.
Well, I mean, me and you have talked about teachers a lot. You know, the good ones are amazing and they're worth their weight in gold.
Mm.
Unfortunately,
and you never forget them.
Yeah, but unfortunately, neither you or I have had much experience of that in our schools. No. Both of us kind of have fairly bad experiences with teachers and kind of getting treated quite poorly.
Yeah, everything was my fault.
Well, I don't want to say that like generally, but both me and you have a teacher each who very heavily disliked us.
Yeah. Like, if someone coddled someone else, it'd be my fault. I remember I was sat...
Coddled?
Yeah. Did you not do like, that at your school?
No, if you said, like, codding you, like, joking you.
No.
Messing with you.
No, not like that. So, I don't know if this was just our school. British listeners, tell us. You would go up to someone, slap him on the forehead and say cod, like a fish.
No, I don't ever remember that.
He looks at cod.
Oh.
But there was actually a time when I was sat on the left-hand side of the classroom. There was two people talking on the right-hand side and the teacher was writing on the board turned around and said, "Neil, be quiet." And I fucking erupted instantly. I was like, "They're at the other side of the fucking room. Like, what the?" And then I got sent out for swearing. So I got annoyed at that. Then I got in trouble for getting annoyed. And then just barrel rolled. All because someone else was talking.
Well, I think that's what's kind of funny about it as well, is that me and you were both very different in school. You were more kind of outgoing, popular kid. And I was quite quiet and shy and, you know.
Like,
but both of us still had that experience with one particular teacher.
No, but don't call me just popular, because people are just going to picture the fucking popular asshole on American fucking TV shows and stuff. No.
Well, from your description of how you were in school, I think you were a massive dickhead.
Wow. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not apologizing for that.
Salt of the earth. I stand firm. I would have give the shirt off my back to someone. Because I was in shape then.
Anyway, Michelle's parents had separated. They were going through divorce proceedings and Michelle's mother was seeking full custody.
Because she thought he was a prick.
It was a challenging divorce filled with tension. Michelle's father had been sent an order, which Michelle's mother Dee Dee had filed, stating that Carl was a threat to both her and Michelle and that he was abusive and therefore she needed full custody.
No, he was a prick then.
Now, during the weekend, it was particularly hot on that Saturday, and 6-year-old Michelle asked her father if she could go out to the backyard and play in the paddling pool. Carl agrees, and as Michelle is playing in the pool, he heads back into the house and gets lunch ready.
Speaking of paddling pools, so I felt sorry for Norman because of the heat, you know? So I ordered a paddling pool. Where did I get it?
You didn't order it, you bought it in Aldi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, sorry, yeah. Went to Aldi to see if they got any paddling pools. They didn't, but they had this thing. It's kind of like a paddling pool, but around the edges, it like shoots water.
A splash pool.
Yeah.
It was described as.
So I got it out, got it set up. Norman wouldn't go near it. And just as we started to get him to go near it, weather's turned. Never gone back to nice weather.
That's the way of the Irish summer.
That's 15 quid I'm never going to see again.
You're lucky we got any sun in July. A lot of the time we have a beautiful, stunning May and then we're kind of fucked rest of it.
You can thank global warming for that.
After lunch, Carl spends the rest of the afternoon inside watching the Indianapolis race and Michelle remains in the garden, only entering the house to grab her beach towel.
What's that? Us racing?
Indianapolis, it's cars, isn't it? Indy 500 and all that shit.
Oh, NASCAR.
I assume so, yeah.
Okay.
He said Indianapolis race. So I was like, Indy? I always hear it referred to as Indy.
So I thought Indy was a genre.
Am I? Yeah, Indy independent movies and shit.
Yeah.
But Indianapolis race. It's Indy 500. Isn't that what people always say?
Is that what Indy is? I thought it was like emo.
No, independent is what it's like short for.
Oh, I thought indie was like, if you were talking about indie bands, it'd be like Sum 41, Blink 182.
No. No.
Oh. So we're indie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So cool. After a while, Carl goes out to the backyard to check on Michelle, but she's nowhere to be seen. He runs over to his neighbour's house at about 5:45 p.m. He wanted to check if Michelle had wandered over to see their child, Elizabeth, who Michelle was friends with. But they hadn't heard from her. Carl starts to panic. It wasn't like Michelle to wander off. He thinks someone must have taken her. So he calls the police and reports Michelle missing. Over the days that followed, posters displaying images of Michelle are plastered around the local area. When Michelle's mother was contacted, she immediately tells police she knows what happened. Carl did it.
After, how would she know that?
She doesn't know it for a fact, but they're going through a very bitter divorce. She's already accused Carl of abuse.
Yeah.
Whatever the truth of it is, the backstory, they're not on good terms and she feels she has reason to doubt him. After Dee Dee's accusation, Carl is, I'm sure, disgusted and he demands that he undergo a polygraph test to prove his innocence. Carl fails the test. Shot himself in the foot a bit there, didn't he? With this, Carl was now their lead suspect. Police start to hone in on Carl and tell him that, with the results of the test, it's not looking good for him, and it's going to be a lot easier if he just comes clean. And after a few days, Carl confesses to the murder of Michelle. He tells them that he had killed Michelle and where to find her body. He stated this during three separate interactions with the police. One location he gave was the crawl space underneath the house. Police search the crawl space and find nothing. Another location given was his father's grave in Washington, D.C. So they checked the cemetery where his father had been buried. But again, nothing.
So he's just wasting the cops' time.
Well, the reality of the situation was that Carl was having a breakdown. Following this, he checks himself into the hospital. And while there, he starts to believe that the television was speaking to him. That he was being told how he could find Michelle. And that he was the one who could bring her back. As Carl described it, he was suffering from delusions of grandeur. After 3 days in the hospital, Carl was released and came forward to retract his statement, and he stood firm that he did not kill his daughter. Carl said that his confession was the result of coercion, that he hadn't really confessed, and that his statement had been twisted and turned into an admission of guilt. Carl is put through another polygraph test, and this time he passes.
See, I had faith in him.
What?
I had faith in him.
You did not?
I did.
As soon as Dee Dee accused him, you're like, that fucking prick.
No. The divorce. Like, I think she should have kept the divorce out of the investigation.
Oh, 100%. But, I mean, if it was true that there was any type of abuse or threats made, I'm not by any means saying you immediately go, oh, they did it. But you can understand some reservations being there. But I do feel like in this case, I mean, it's, do you remember Jade Janks?
Yes.
It feels like it was one of those where they're just working the whole case around this person's the killer, just kind of going for the low hanging fruit.
Mm.
So as with the Jade Janks case, it's the same here. It's easier for Carl to be the killer, so let's not explore any other avenues of investigation.
Mm.
Although there was no evidence against Carl, police still believed him to be the prime suspect. And as the years passed, valuable time was wasted by focusing on someone they desperately wanted to be the killer. 14 years later, in the year 2000, an inmate confesses to the murder of Michelle. The name of the inmate who confessed, Haddon Clark.
Haddon Clark.
6 years after the murder of Michelle, and just a few miles away, Laura Hotling was murdered by Haddon Clark. You okay, Neil?
Haddon Clark, why does that ring a bell?
Last week's episode?
Oh, that bastard.
Mm.
Right, okay.
I quite briefly mentioned it, that Haddon was a suspect in the disappearance of a young girl.
Yeah, okay. Right, we're on the same level now.
Here we are now.
Yeah.
So, just to give you a quick recap of Haddon. Haddon had previously served in the Navy, but was discharged after being diagnosed with schizophrenia. He trained as a chef and worked various jobs, including gardening, distributing flyers, and part-time at a bagel shop. But overall, he struggled to hold down a job. Previous to his incarceration, he was known to police as a suspect in the Michelle Doerr case, as well as for committing burglaries. He didn't always have a stable living situation, often sleeping in his van. During his time in prison, Haddon enjoyed drawing, and a lot of his pictures exhibited disturbing imagery, given his crimes.
Mm.
A lot of pictures of women and girls and landscapes. And just throwing this in for good measure, something else that Haddon's cellmate recalled was that Haddon would save his milk cartons and leave them to go out of date. He said his reason for doing so was because the smell reminded him of decaying bodies.
Ugh.
So there's that.
Have you heard what they're doing in prisons now? I think I've already mentioned it before, actually. I can't remember what they call them. Dookie bombs or something? Doo-doo bombs?
Beg your fucking pardon?
Yeah, so they'll get like milk containers or anything. And they will piss, shit, they'll throw rotten food in it.
Lads.
And if someone comes to shank them,
that'll stop you in your tracks.
They throw that. Apparently, if someone lets one of them off, the whole wing.
Stink bomb.
Fucking stink. Yeah. So it's actually been lessening how many shanking attacks there are, because no one wants to get hit with this doo-doo bomb.
I mean, I personally wouldn't be as quick to shank someone if I was going to get, you know, shit and piss thrown at me.
I don't know, because it could go the other way.
I think I'd rather get stabbed.
Because you imagine, yeah? So I'm only planning on just sticking blade in you once. Like, it's a fucking warning.
I'm not saying I'll trade that for, like, you know, a violent fucking...
This is what I mean. So say if I was coming to do that and you throw a doo-doo bomb in my face. I think they're called grenades, doo-doo grenades, or it's some play on the word shit and then bomb or grenade.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, say I'm coming to just shank you just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah. Just a touch.
And you throw that in my face, I'm going to see instant fucking red.
Yeah.
You're dead. I'm just going to continue. I'm not just going to stab once. I'm just going to keep fucking going. You've just thrown shit and piss in my face.
But if I'm giving you the option, right, between the two, would you rather, I'm not talking about a gruesome, violent attack. Obviously, you take a bit of piss thrown at you over bleeding out.
Yeah.
Obviously. Stabbed once in your stomach or side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the bomb thrown at you.
Any of it touching my lip?
Well, probably, yes. Even if it's not at your face, I mean, a speck of it's probably going to land on your lip or something.
I'd rather get stabbed.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
But it's not just stabbings.
Just the once, though.
It's not just stabbings, it's beatings as well.
No, but this is what I'm like, we're not taking the piss here. I'm not saying I'd rather fucking... Yeah. Obviously not. I wouldn't want to be severely beaten.
Yeah.
But if it's just the one, you know you're going to be grand. It's going to be painful and a ball ache.
Mm.
Just the one.
Yeah,
you're taking the shit and piss.
No,
you're not.
No, stabbing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. You stabbing. Take the one stabbing over.
I would take the fatal stabbing over getting that thrown in. If that touched my lip, I would end up.
All bets are off.
I would end up ending myself. There would be no amount of scrubbing what would get that clean. You've seen how I react if. If I'm drinking a cup of tea...
You're outrageously dramatic.
Off, if I'm drinking tea and something touches my lip, other than liquid...
Yeah.
Whether the milk's slightly off or if a bit of biscuits fucking dropped in, if that touches my lip...
Stop dunking your biscuits then.
No. That's what the fuck.
I don't really dunk biscuits. Not my scene. Because it's soggy and messy and...
The only other thing you can do is take a bite of your biscuit... While the biscuit's in your mouth, sup your tea.
I tend to eat and then drink. I don't tend to mix. But if I was to like sloppy, mushy baby food like you, I would do it that way. Mm. At the time of Michelle's disappearance, Haddon lived just two doors down from Michelle. He was staying at his brother Jeffrey's home. And Jeffrey was the father of Elizabeth, Michelle's friend. Now, during the initial investigation... Haddon was questioned as to his whereabouts at the time of the disappearance. Police learned that on the day of Michelle's disappearance, Haddon was home alone. His brother Jeffrey had gone out for the day and left Haddon there to pack his things. Haddon was angry after his brother had asked him to leave due to his inappropriate behaviour towards his children.
Oh.
Mm. And remember, Haddon doesn't like being wronged by someone.
So Haddon thought, I'll prove him wrong, and went and did it to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, from what we know of Haddon, again, you don't cross him. And if he does, he's going to retaliate, and it's usually against women and girls.
Mm.
During questioning, Haddon was said to have been cooperative with the police until Michelle's name was mentioned. His demeanour completely changed. He became extremely uncomfortable, shaking and rocking back and forth, even becoming physically sick.
Oh.
Yeah, so of course this is a troubling display of behaviour, which police did take note of, but it was quickly forgotten about when Carl presented as a suspect.
Yeah, yeah.
They seemed to attribute Haddon's behaviour as being linked to his mental illness, and that's all there was to it. Now, I'm not trying to tell anyone how to do their jobs, but...
But you're gonna.
But really? Really, lads?
Yeah.
Come on. Even if they were so sure of themselves that Carl had committed the murder, I'd at least be thinking it's possible that Haddon was an accomplice or had at least witnessed something.
It does make you think, doesn't it? Like, how many cases did an innocent man, back in the day, how many innocent men went down for a crime?
I mean, even now, but yeah, years ago?
Yeah.
Fuck me. But to be fair to Haddon, there was no evidence against him, but neither was there against Carl, and look how that played out. It's just, it's crazy to me that they could discount Haddon due to his mental state, but horrifically manipulate a man whose mental health was taking a beating due to his bitter divorce and the accusations of abuse and murdering his daughter.
Hmm.
So jumping forward to after Haddon was charged with the murder of Laura Hotling, they question Haddon again about Michelle, but he refuses to talk. Now, the information varies a bit here. A man named Jim Beckett was interviewed for Forensic Files, but in the documentary Born Evil, they interview a man named Jack Truitt. I'll give you both accounts, but either way, Haddon started talking.
Okay.
Jim Beckett was a fellow inmate of Haddon's who wanted to know the truth himself. Jim decided to befriend Haddon in an attempt to obtain the truth. One day, as they're sat eating a meal together, Jim asks Haddon about Michelle. As Haddon tells Jim that she was a lovely young girl, Jim can see that just the mention of Michelle's name triggers a reaction. Jim cuts the shit and says, "Haddon, why did you do it?" To which Haddon replies, "I didn't mean to do it." The other account is that Haddon confided in his cellmate Jack Truitt, who Haddon believed to be Jesus.
Why wouldn't he?
Sure, why not? He had long hair and a beard. Yeah. Cool. So whether it was Jim or Jack, or possibly both of them, he goes to the police and he tells them that Haddon had confessed to him that he brought Michelle into a bedroom of his brother's house, where he would then kill her. So they go to the house, but now it's over 10 years on from the murder, and the house has since been sold and housed multiple other families. And judging from the murder of Laura, Haddon was fairly competent at concealing DNA evidence at the crime scenes. Until you get the aluminol out.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The home still had the original wooden floorboards, but the floor had since been sanded and refinished on at least one occasion.
Pull them up.
Well, this is the thing. They still got the luminol out, the old luminol,
mm-hmm.
and gave it a spray. Although there wasn't a lot of blood present, there was still some blood evidence ingrained between the floorboards.
Yeah, pull it up.
Well, with that, they ripped the floor up for further testing. They were able to retrieve a very minute amount of blood, but not enough to get a DNA profile.
And now some poor fucker's house has been, the floor's all been ripped up.
Do you think they get given something for that? Or is it like it's a murder investigation, can't help you? Didn't they get like some type of compensation to redo the floor?
Well, you'd want to hope they're renting. So it's the landlord's problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. They'd probably just say it's murder investigation. If you try and stop us, you'll be done with obstruction.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm aware with... you know, like with crime scene cleanup, that's one of those things that like if someone was murdered in your home, well, it's up to you. You hire the cleaners to come in it's not like the police pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to sort it out. So after they've got the DNA, they decide to use a mitochondrial DNA test, which means that they cannot definitively say that this was Michelle's blood, but that the blood was definitely from a member of her family.
It is amazing, like, the shit they can do with DNA.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially when it gets to something like this, when it's the family testing and, you know, like the genealogy shit we're seeing nowadays.
Mm.
I think you were saying the other day, like, killers from like the 70s must be shitting themselves now.
Yeah. Like, again, back to, you know, the family with the floorboards. If the cops ripped up the floorboards, did the, you know, and they were like, right, we have found some blood, but it's not enough for testing, I'd be like, fucking test it.
Mm.
Fucking test it. You just ripped up my floor. Fucking test it.
It's also a difficult one with testing. So, you know, say they have this evidence and everyone's like, you know, test it. You know, years are passing. Like, why hasn't it been tested? And yeah, no, that is a fair argument at times. But you also have to remember they have a limited amount. And yeah, they want to make sure if they're using it, it's being used the right time. They've got enough to test against it.
Yeah, they could say that to me and I'd be like, fucking test it.
Yeah.
Get it tested. Give me fluor.
On the day of Michelle's disappearance, it's thought that while Carl was inside the home watching TV, and as Carl thought himself, Michelle got out of the pool and made her way over to her friend Elizabeth's home.
Victim blaming again.
Haddon, as we know, was the only person home at the time and was already resentful about being told to leave. And as we previously talked about, Haddon was quick to retaliate in some form if he felt he had been wronged by someone.
Mm.
It's believed that Haddon lured Michelle into the house and into an upstairs bedroom. Now, given Haddon's tendency to embellish his accounts, I would take this with a pinch of salt. But according to Jack Truitt, Haddon's cellmate,
Jesus,
Haddon slit Michelle's throat, drank her blood, and cannibalized a portion of her flesh. Not long after this, Haddon was seen by neighbours carrying duffel bags as he left his brother's home. It's believed that Haddon used one of these duffel bags to transport Michelle's body out of the house. In December of 1998, Haddon was sentenced to a second life sentence for the murder of Michelle. In January 2000, Haddon revealed to police the location of Michelle's body. But he did have one request for revealing the location of her body.
Shove your request up your hole.
He wanted to do so while presenting in a feminine manner. So police actually had to bring Haddon to a store and get him a wig and clothing.
What?
Yeah. They actually brought him to a department store and shopped around with Haddon.
Why did he need to be dressed like a broad to show the location?
Well, if you remember, Haddon said that his alter ego was a woman named Kristen Bluefin, and that she was the real killer.
Right, okay.
Mm. When they travelled to the wooded area to recover Michelle's body, one detective described Haddon as having a, quote, shit-eating grin.
What does that mean?
He was loving it. He was enjoying it. The attention he was getting to dress how he wanted to. They were having to kind of do what he said. Like, I'll reveal the location, but you've got to let me present how I want to present.
Trying to give him a win.
Huh?
Trying to get a win.
What do you mean trying to get a win?
Like, I'm going to
try and manipulate
them. I'm going to make you do something.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But back to the previous comment. If I ate shite, I can tell you now I wouldn't be grinning. That doesn't even make sense. Shite ridden grin.
Shit eating.
A shit eating grin. That doesn't make sense.
So they're looking around for the burial site, and you have to bear in mind it's nearly 15 years later, and the area was described as a dumping ground. It would be difficult to find any type of marker or indicator.
Yeah.
As they're walking through, one detective feels something under his foot. It was a rusted wire sticking out of the ground. He pulls the wire and realizes it's a wire bedspring. He calls Haddon over, and he confirms that this was the location. You see, Haddon was able to recognise it straight away, as he had used pieces of wire in an attempt to deter animals from getting to the body. As they start to dig, they unearthed the strap of the swimsuit that Michelle had worn the day of her murder. Pink ruffles with white polka dots. Michelle had been buried in a shallow grave, just 10 miles from her home. By now, Michelle's body was just skeletal remains. An absolutely devastating moment for her family, but at least, and I know it's not much, there's some form of closure. Michelle's father said of the recovery of her remains, quote, "I guess part of me is real happy, but at the same time, I want to cry. It's been so long. I'm glad, I guess, he had the courage to come forward, if in fact, that's what he did." With the location of Michelle's body finally being revealed, she can finally be laid to rest. Now, as for Haddon, he has talked quite a lot. Although he wasn't too keen on the initial confessions, he can ramble a bit and, like I said, likes to embellish.
So once he gets started, you can't stop him.
Yeah, it's kind of, he doesn't want to make the initial confession, but once you get him going.
Yeah.
Haddon has confessed to burying jewellery on the grounds of his grandparents' former property. So, of course, police wanted to have a bit of a nose.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered over 200 items, including Laura Hotling's class ring. Haddon claimed that these articles were trophies he had taken from previous murders he had committed.
Murders?
I mean, yes, I don't disbelieve that some were, but I think it's most likely that the majority were obtained through theft, not murders. We already know that Haddon had committed burglaries.
Yeah.
So he's most likely a bit of a magpie. Haddon has also made numerous confessions, one of which was the 1985 abduction of 9-year-old Sarah Pryor. He brought police out to the area where he claimed to have left Sarah's body, but Haddon was unable to determine the location.
Put his wig on?
He did. He was...
Oh.
Yeah. He was Kristen when he went to recover the body.
Kristen what? Bluewater?
Bluefin. Another confession was that Haddon was behind the murder of the infamous Lady of the Dunes case.
I'm aware of it.
Are you, though? I was just about to say, I'm sure you guys have heard of this case, but if you are unfamiliar, the Lady of the Dunes was the case of a woman whose body was found in the Race Point Dunes of Provincetown, Massachusetts. She remained unidentified for 48 years. Her cause of death was blunt force trauma, and there was extensive mutilation. Her hands had been removed, and her head had nearly been severed. Now, Haddon did work in the area at the time of the murder, so police decided to bring Haddon out to the dunes.
Kristen, excuse me.
He also told police that he had cut her fingers off and used them as bait for the fish. You see, I personally believe that Haddon was probably fascinated by the case and studied the details of it, and it happened near where he was at the time, so he would have seen all the local uproar and coverage of the case. And although I think it's entirely likely that Haddon has killed others, I think a lot of his confessions are purely for attention.
Bogus.
It also seems that they like the idea of him being this notorious serial killer. See, and he knows this.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just that. Like, yeah, you want to be more notorious. But I think it's for day art. Gets you out at cell, gets you out at prison.
100%. It's not surprising that he's going to lead them on a wild goose chase if he might get something for his possible intel.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Particularly as they constantly say about Haddon that he was manipulative and he enjoyed playing mind games. Or, as his brother Jeffrey put it, quote, "just for the jollies of being a dick." In 2022, genealogy testing was able to confirm the identity of the Lady of the Dunes as being Ruth Marie Terry. And it's believed that she was murdered by her husband, Guy Muldavin, who has since died. He is also a very interesting character who I'm sure we will cover at some point.
Mm.
I actually looked into him a few months ago. And
no good.
No good at all. But there is actually some people who seem to still think that Haddon could be responsible for this. it's more widely believed that he's chatting shit.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's not very credible. But again, there's some people who seem to really want Haddon to be this notorious serial killer. They like the story, and I think they want to be one of the investigators or agents who had involvement with them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. They want it to be him for selfish reasons.
Well, during the documentary Born Evil, Haddon does start listing off different women and children. Michelle Doerr, Silver Springs, Maryland. Laura Hotling, Bethesda, Maryland. Doreen Vincent, Wallingford, Connecticut. Mary Mount, New Canaan, Connecticut. Sarah Pryor, Wayland, Massachusetts. Bonnie Beckett, Kate Wilder, Brooklyn, New York. When asked how he knew their names and the areas they were from, he replied, quote, "I lived in those areas. I've been all over the United States." Now, again, they're trying to make it seem kind of like, oh, this is so sinister. But if he's lived in all these places, he clearly does have a fascination with murder, and you're wanting him to seem notorious, he's probably like, fuck it, I'm going to play along with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to live it up, you know? And it kind of bothers me that they're feeding into it, you know?
Yeah.
So the case of the Sarah Pryor, you know, the police in that area already have their guy as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
But it's
now you're interfering.
I'm not saying that it's not Haddon. I don't know the case well enough to say it is or it isn't. But it's this kind of constant push for him to be responsible.
Yeah. And the more they're playing up to it, the more attention he's getting.
Exactly.
And the more he's going to talk, because he's going to, I'm going to get more attention.
Exactly. It's the same way in the Laura Hotling case. You know when I said I don't like how they were dealing with him? I don't feel like a lot of the approaches taken towards him are the best.
Yeah.
Give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And he's not getting you any further in your investigation.
Yeah. It's the dribble effect again.
It's the dribble effect. No, but in all seriousness, at the end of the day, you're not getting any closer to finding the true killer.
Mm.
Same with what you did to Carl. And, you know, depending on your opinion in the Jade Janks case, same type of thing. There could have been shit you're missing because you're so hyper fucking fixated.
Yeah.
You know? As it stands, no other murders are confirmed to have been committed by Haddon. Quote, "Clark is a very difficult person to speak to, and it takes someone with a lot of experience in dealing with him to separate out his fantasies from his truthful statements."
Yeah, need a lot of patience.
Need a lot of patience, and I think that's fucking hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Again, like I mentioned in the previous episode, I find it very troubling, and we kind of just discussed it there, how a lot of law enforcement, you know, their attitude towards him and how they've dealt with him. While on the way to investigate other burial sites, Haddon freaks out and attempts to bite one of the agents. So another agent who was present punches Haddon in the face as hard as he could. Look, in that situation, I don't know what you do, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to stop it. Get it? It's what he said after that bothered me.
Go on.
Quote, "The de-escalation was a little bit of escalation, if you will. It felt good too." You shouldn't feel good about assaulting a person. I don't care. Like, it's, you're meant to be there. You're meant to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
But knowing what he did to at least two girls, it would feel good to smack him in the face.
Oh, no. 100%. But you don't say it out loud.
Oh, yeah.
You don't say it out loud.
Well, I would.
But you would, but you've got no filter. But this is this same guy, I feel like he's one of the ones who really wants to push the narrative about Haddon being.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, give it a rest.
Yeah.
What Haddon has done is bad enough. Don't diminish the victims who we know Haddon
is
already responsible for. And again, don't get in the way of other investigations.
Yeah.
You know? I understand that Haddon is certainly a terrifying individual who has committed despicable crimes. But why does it seem they keep trying to ignore the glaringly obvious fact that Haddon was suffering from a mental health condition? And I'm not saying that, you know, it's in any way an excuse for his behavior. Again, I just don't think the approach to him was appropriate at all, it seems.
Yeah.
For example, with Haddon, nothing is ever his fault. He always has these elaborate stories as to why he's done the things he's done and what led him to do it. You know, which I'm not, you know, I do think ripple effect and dribble effect and all that.
Yeah.
I do think things have a knock-on effect and trauma and what have you factor in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of that I did this. It's not because of that I was in this state and I did something I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's also a case of, rather than asking why is he doing these things, it seems that a lot of the people involved in these cases seem to want to take it at face value and just sort of say, hey, look, he's evil. He's manipulative. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. So they never even looked into like the schizophrenia or...
It seems very glossed over.
Right.
A lot of the time. And I find that really fucking concerning.
Yeah, instead of, you know, looking at the schizophrenia, they're just saying, sick fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Haddon is certainly incredibly cunning and manipulative.
Mm. Well, Kristen.
Kristen.
Well, is she? Maybe they should do that.
I personally don't believe. I think that's one of his manipulations. I think he may enjoy dressing a certain way or wearing wigs and what have you and presenting in a feminine manner. That's all well and good. Go off, Haddon. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But I think he's using that to you know, created the Kristen alter ego to say, it's not me, it's Kristen. It's like, bollocks to you, Haddon. You're full of shit.
Yeah, well, maybe like you could test the theory out. You know, every time you want to interview him, sit him down, throw a wig at him and go, oi, I want to talk to Kristen. And then get him to put the wig on and then see if Kristen is just straightforward, honest with the answers.
Yeah. Haddon is currently eligible for parole, but as one FBI agent stated, quote, if you're comfortable with this guy living in your basement or renting a room for you, then put him out on parole.
Yeah. If someone argued it saying, oh, he should be out, right, he's living with you then.
Yeah.
You fucking tech him.
I don't want fish heads in my wall. After the years of heartache over the disappearance of 6-year-old Michelle, her father said of her body finally being recovered, quote, it's nice to have the chance to bury Michelle and have a funeral for her. I still miss Michelle to this day, and I will continue to miss her. But at least I'll have somewhere to say goodbye. And that is the murder of Michelle Lee Dore, and a bit further into the story of Haddon Clark.
A bit further?
A little bit further.
Oh, okay.
What was that?
What? Because I'm guessing there's more. It sounds like...
No, I'm saying that... The fucking last episode we talked about the fucker.
Yeah.
And now we're back talking about him again.
Yeah.
He's had his moment in the sun.
But he didn't say last little bit. He said...
And that's the last little bit about Haddon Clark, lads. That's your lot, right? Unless something else comes out, we'll revisit.
Okay.
My God.
Right, so I have a question. Did Dee Dee fucking apologise to your man for dragging his name through the shite, delaying the fucking case?
I mean, I hope so. Regardless of their personal relationship and whatever happened after the fact,
yeah,
I hope she at least, you know...
She wants to have.
That's a horrific thing
to
accuse someone of.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can accuse Carl of is like, hey, Carl, maybe don't leave your kid out the back all day.
Yeah.
But I mean, and again, I am in no way saying this is okay, but a lot of parents did it.
Yeah.
A lot of parents, because this is something that's always known about the Maddie McCann case. You know, what the fuck were they doing leaving the kid in the room? But then you get all these people come out the woodwork, go, well, we always did it. It's like, that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. Don't make it okay.
Did your parents ever just leave you in a hotel room and fuck off?
No. Left me at home.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, not in hotels and that.
No.
They were smart enough not to do it in public. No, if he gets paroled, whoever voted it, you can fucking have him. Can live with he.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not going to get out. Did you know that, as far as I'm aware anyway, Haddon Clark is the only person to have 2 Forensic Files episodes about him?
Oh.
Mm.
Well, I don't remember this one.
Should have been paying more attention.
With Elastin. Well, who says I've seen it?
Well,
I've never seen that one.
I've watched all of the Forensic Files, and I'm pretty sure you watched... I would have said all of them, at least the majority with me.
I think the last ones I watched were Forensic Files. I think they were called Forensic Files 2.
The new ones, yeah.
Apparently they're on Foreigner.
Are they? It's not as good though, is it?
No.
No.
But yeah, like the Foston, I remember, you know, how it were a woman was seen leaving, but it turned out to be him in a frock and a wig.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, but I don't remember anything to do with this one.
Slacks he was wearing, actually.
Sorry?
Slacks he was wearing. That was a point, remember? Because Laura would wear dresses.
Oh, yeah.
It was slacks, Neil.
Yeah.
Mm.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, oddity.
Oddity, right. Dolphin-assisted birth.
Nothing to do with birds, no?
No.
Okay.
We've moved. Get over it.
It's been about a month of fucking poultry.
Did you know that some people have chosen to give birth with the assistance of dolphins?
How do you mean?
They hop into a pool with dolphins swimming about.
How do they assist?
While giving a... What?
How do they assist?
Oh, they're just there, aren't they?
With the fins?
I mean, they're just there.
Or giving you words of encouragement?
I mean, kind of. Actually, you're kind of on the
Fuck
money.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Now, some people believe that dolphins being present during childbirth provide a calming and therapeutic environment, or even for their, quote, healing potential.
Do you know what would make it calming?
Although, can I just say there's nothing to back this up? That's just, you know.
Can I just tell you what would make it more calming and all that for me? Having a doctor there.
Yeah, well, you mean you have your midwife, but...
One of them.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I personally...
I don't need a dolphin screaming in my fucking lug hole.
No, not so much. I personally believe this is a load of fucking shite. And I sure as fuck wouldn't want a 500-pound or whatever the fuck the way dolphin bombing around me. Or my newborn, for that matter.
Yeah, actually.
Mm. Dolphins apparently vary a lot in size as well. I didn't know that.
What, by sex?
By the type of dolphin.
I didn't know. I thought they were just dolphins. No, you know how there's killer whale, blue whale?
Yeah, there's bottlenose, which I think is like the most common one.
The one that's got like a big spinner or caveman forehead.
What? That's all dolphins, isn't it?
No.
They've all got that big fucking... hump on their head.
No.
Oh. Hang on one sec. Oh, well, this is coming up with, like, whales and shit as well. I know they're, like, kind of related. Common dolphin.
I'm right.
You're right about what?
But the common one doesn't have the caveman forehead. Big brow bone.
No, it looks a bit more sleek.
Yeah. But what if it just started kicking about and that?
Short-beaked common dolphin. It kind of has a bit of a brow on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you imagine you're in the middle of, you know, spitting a chubby out. And what if it starts going mad, going berserk and starts fucking tossing its tail about?
This is part of the fucking concern. You know, it's a wild animal.
Or it could just try and barricade, like it could just try and ram into you.
Yeah, kill you.
Dolphins assisting in labour and you're laughing at me trying to get the gas going.
Well, I tell you what, like you said about the, you know, them fucking screeching at you.
Yeah.
Or what way did you word it?
Gobbing off. I don't know what I said.
Okay, well, before we got distracted by the types of dolphin, you said something about, you know, the noises they make.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be what people are latching onto here is the fact that dolphins use echolocation.
Yeah.
So this is when, do you know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it?
They'll make that noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. underwater.
Yeah.
And you can sense where things are. and that.
Yeah, they listen back for the echoes so they can find food, yeah. You know, not bump into walls and shit.
But they're not struggling to locate the fucking babby. We know where the babby is. It's in the woman. In the womb.
Womb.
Yeah.
Well, the relation to the pregnancy thing is that it's believed dolphins can detect when other animals and humans are pregnant using the echolocation.
Okay, that's a good skill. But what's that got, like, how's that help the labour?
Again, so going from that, if a woman is pregnant, it's understandable that a dolphin may be quicker to gravitate towards her. But that's just because they're curious bastards and they can hear something going on. It's not that they're like, let me nurture this child.
It's not going to help.
Yeah, it's...
I'm still waiting for the assistance.
I got to be honest with you, there is none here. This is just people who believe in this. They're, oh, they'd be so lovely and calming and nice. Yeah. Childbirth, obviously you would want to make it as calming and therapeutic as you can, but it's not particularly that moment in your life. I'm sorry, lads.
Tell you what, I
like I've done it. I haven't even done it. I can't fucking speak on it, but I can imagine.
Right,
the horror.
I'm going to come up with a new way to assist labour. Right, I'm going to chuck a fucking massive huntsman spider or tarantula on your face so you scream like fuck and push the fucking baby out. You forgot all about giving birth.
Yes.
You just focused on this fucking big tarantula
on your
face.
That's a good point. That's a lot of people use that tactic.
Bollocks.
What do you mean bollocks? You're the one who just said it.
They're chucking tarantulas on people's
face. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like people will do that. You know, like if someone is scared of needles.
Yes.
They'll like have them off to the side and they'll be distracted like a baby or something or, you know, they'll be distracting them and before they know it's done, dust, whatever.
Yeah.
You distract them with something else, take their focus off the immediate issue.
Yeah.
So actually you're onto something.
Yeah.
Tarantulas during childbirth.
Yeah.
Get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Now, dolphins are not specifically aggressive animals, but they have been known to exhibit some aggressive behaviours towards both other dolphins and humans. This includes killing calves, which is awful, but it's not unheard of among other animals. Mm-hmm. Biologist Chrissy Wilcox commented on dolphins' violent tendencies towards other species. Dolphins, for no apparent reason, will, quote, toss, beat and kill porpoises and baby sharks.
Baby sharks.
If like, Neil's obviously going to have to edit that together, but I can't... Porpoises? Porpoises.
Purposes.
No, porpoises. They're kind of like a dolphin thing.
Okay.
I can't really say that word. It's kind of hard to say.
Porpoise.
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 I want to say purpose. My mouth goes to sound that word instead.
Porpoise.
Porpoise. Porpoise.
What was that?
If
why
I say
you,
it,
you
if
went
I,
so posh?
If I say it more British sounding, it kind of, it comes out, porpoise. No, hang on. Say again.
Porpoise.
Porpoise.
There you go.
Porpoise. There we go. Porpoise. I can't say it in my own fucking accent. Anyway, they're beating the shite out of the babies, right? No good. But this seems to be more in relation to bottlenose dolphins. They seem to be the dicks of the dolphin world.
Right.
Now, I'm sure you've seen videos online of dolphins humping people as well.
Yes.
Mm. It's not just humans. Although rare, there have been a few recorded cases of necrocoitus among bottlenoses.
Coitus?
Necrophilia.
Oh.
Mm.
I heard coitus.
Necro.
Oh.
Yeah. Experts still don't know why some dolphins are necrophiles. Can't figure it out.
But some humans who are necrophiles. Like.
What?
They're just messed up.
Yeah, but we can communicate with humans. I know. But because we can't obviously communicate the same way. And also, there's only a few recorded cases.
Mm.
We don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, I don't want them near you when you're giving birth.
I don't want them near me at all because they're a tad rapey. It's not, you know, it's not ideal. Now, although it's not ingrained in dolphins to attack humans, they have done and will do so if they are feeling stressed. But there are signs to look out for, Neil, if you ever find yourself near a pissed off dolphin.
That frowning with a big brow.
Well, they kind of can't really help that, can they? Now, if they're underwater and they're holding their mouth open, blowing bubbles or loudly vocalizing, they're pissed. They're going to get you. And this is the one that got me. It really drove home the point, right? Dolphins have been described as, quote, big aquatic bison or aquatic grizzly bears. It's a large, wild, powerful animal that you can't predict. Now, I got to be honest, dolphins are another one on my list. Never trusted the little shits.
Swam with them. Lovely.
Did you?
Yeah, lovely animals.
When did you swim with dolphins?
To like 2012, 2013.
You're telling me you swam with an aquatic grizzly bear?
We're a necrophile, yeah.
You went on holiday with a necrophile. Is that what you're telling me right now?
Well, I met him on holiday.
You met up on holiday.
Yeah, I didn't go on holiday with him. That'd be weird.
Here's the thing though, right? I don't hate dolphins, you know, before you start fucking coming after me, because I know that's going to upset people.
Yeah. We still get messages about kangaroos.
Kangaroos, yeah. People are really upset about that.
And we have people
horses upset people a bit as well.
Yeah. Especially people in the Facebook group. We still will get a post come up and it'll be like a different animal. It'll be like, do you think Neil could knock this out?
Yeah. But what I was going to say in regards to the dolphins, it's not that I fucking hate dolphins. It's just a dolphin. It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I think what, you know, they kind of get a bad rap to me is because they're so fucking rammed down your throat. How beautiful and fucking stunning. And it's amazing to swim with dolphins. Leave them alone. Neil, leave them. Why are you swimming with dolphins? Why are you? I didn't even know you'd done that.
I thought you did. No,
I don't think you've ever told me that.
It were in some park yoke thing.
You're part of the problem.
Right.
Fucking swim with dolphins, you mad?
I think I were in Spain, somewhere like that, and I went to some fucking water park thing, and you could swim with dolphins.
No, I think you're a dick.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's the same as with Treadwell and the killer seagulls and what have you. Admittedly, the seagulls are a bit harder to avoid, but you take my point.
Yeah.
You don't need to feed into it and leave them alone.
They feel amazing.
What?
They feel amazing.
Why are you feeling the dolphins?
Well, like, you rode it.
What?
You rode it. Like,
what do you mean you rode the dolphin?
You hold on to its fin.
Yeah.
And it'll swim. But if you're stroking them, you're getting them to boot, you can boop them. You can get them to do a trick for food. But when you're stroking them, it's rubber. Like, it feels unreal.
So, let
feels
me ask,
like silicone.
Feels unreal. You really like the feeling of rubber, yeah?
Right, I ain't got any of them fetishes.
No, and I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying, would you also like to stroke the Catman, going by your logic?
No, obviously not.
Why not? You agreed, didn't you, that he just wants to be a big cat. Leave him be.
As long as he's not doing anything wrong.
So if he came over and rubbed his head against your leg, would you give him a stroke?
Probably, if it'd make him happy.
That's actually like, you never watched Dharma and Greg?
No.
No. You won't get the reference then. So to sum up, and quote biologist Chrissy Wilcox, quote, "This has to be one of the worst natural birthing ideas anyone has ever had." So, maybe give the dolphin-assisted births a miss. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.